Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News, and joining me today via telephone from his apartment in Alameda is the San Francisco Chronicles Warriors beat writer, Connor Letourneau. He's joining me on a Tuesday because we call this now La Tuesdays, and the entire premise of La Tuesdays is that I text Connor earlier in the day, and I ask, hey, what do you want to talk about? And whatever Connor wants to talk about, we talk about. And that, in essence, is La Tuesday. So, Connor, what do you want to talk about today?
We can talk about a few things. I thought it'd be kind of pertinent since it's the quarantine and the reason we are not together. I think this is our first time recording a podcast where we're not physically in the same room, is because we're trying to adhere to the shelter-in-place ordinance brought down by the state of California. It feels like it's going to be brought down in every state throughout America. My home state of Oregon just enacted it today.
Oh, really?
So my folks are officially not supposed to leave their house, you know, except for basic exercise and basic, you know, essentials. So, and they don't have near the number of cases that we have down here. But, you know, better safe than sorry at this point, given the nature of this spreading of this disease. So, but basically, I think we all have a lot of free time on our hands. I know you and I are finding things to write and trying to stay busy, but we still have a lot more free time on our hands than we normally would. You know, if this NBA season hadn't gotten canceled, we would have just gotten back today from a 5-city trip. We would have just gotten back from New York today.
Which crazy.
We did not go on at all. But with all that free time, I know a lot of people are reading a lot. A lot of people are watching a lot of Netflix, watching a lot of TV. So I wanted to talk to you about some of the best basketball movies / documentaries and some of the best basketball books.
Let's start with the movies and we'll go to the books because I would prefer to talk about the books, but I did a Twitter poll with my audience on Monday and I asked them, how much time are you spending a lot of time consuming any of the following? And basically books got 7% of the vote. So my audience doesn't read. That's basically what I learned. And I encourage them to read more. And maybe by the end of this maybe after this podcast, they'll read some of these books that we recommended. Get smart, people. Read a book. Jesus Christ. But
I don't read enough books for someone as a professional writer. But I am taking advantage of this free time to read, and it's actually been really enjoyable.
Books are a seasonal activity for you and I, because during the season, it's hard to sit down with a book and devote the kind of time that it takes. Look, I know a lot of people are in that boat, too. That's probably a reason why a lot of people aren't reading books, is because we demand a lot. But, you know, people go on vacation, and they read books then. You know, summertime is usually our time to read books. But you know, when the coronavirus hits, you know, it's also a good time to read books. So let's get into movies first. What's your favorite? Full disclosure, I'm not a fan of sports movies. They kind of just they string together sort of the worst things to me about sports, which is just like beating you over the head with endless cliches and things like that, and just like the whole process of narrative, and everything kind of seems very clean and ordinary, and it just never really accurately reflects sports. It's sort of like, it's weird because sports is entertainment, so to base entertainment off of entertainment just seems like a weird concept to me in general. However, there are good sports movies out there. When they're done right, they are good, just like anything. So what are some of your favorites?
Yeah. Are we doing sports or just basketball?
Start with basketball, and then we can kind of go into sports.
Yeah. No, and I agree with you about the sports thing. It feels like sports movies tend to be really predictable and cliche, especially like having covered sports professionally. You just see how kind of fake a lot of they're portrayed in a lot of movies, especially at a professional level. But I really enjoy sports documentaries, I think, because they're a little bit more real. They especially documentaries that get into real world struggles and real world experiences. And my all time favorite basketball movie is Hoop Dreams. I think it's a classic. I think it's one of the greatest documentaries ever made. For those of you that aren't familiar with Hoop Dreams, it's basically about, it's set in the early 1990s, and a filmmaker basically spent several years following around two, I believe four years following around two aspiring NBA players in on the south side of Chicago who came from a rough neighborhood and were both discovered on the streets of Chicago playing basketball and enrolled at a really high powered prep school, that the same prep school that Isaiah Thomas went to, St. Joe's outside Chicago, and kind of follows their journeys. And one of them ended up having, you know, a really successful career at that high school, went on to play at Marquette. And then the other one didn't last at the prep school and ended up going to his local public high school and dealing with a lot of stuff with his family. Ended up ultimately playing at Arkansas State. But just a fascinating study of the human condition and the role that I think sports play for inner city kids, you know, just kind of latching on to that dream, you know, looking at basketball as a way out. And I think it's one of those movies that has really stood the test of time. I've watched it relatively recently within the past year, and it still holds water.
I need to go back and watch that, but it is basically considered the best basketball movie ever, you know, movie, documentaries, whatever. I think I see it at the top of so many lists, and there's a reason for it. It's because it hits at really what it is that makes basketball special and what we all like about it, right? It is this like kind of blacktop type of game, and then you get it, you know, it's transferred to the arena, and then you see guys like Steph Curry with his tight handle and just like the magic things that he's doing. All that stuff starts on a pickup court, right? Like when they're kids, and to see sort of the beginning stages of that and to see the struggles of all that. And how many times have you and I read or written even a story about, you know, this was the way I got out, and this was just sort of what I always wanted to do with my life. Like, there was never another option for me. I was always going to be a basketball player kind of thing. And it gets at that in a real way. As far as movies that aren't documentaries, though, and I think the threshold is pretty high as far as making a good version of that. To me, what makes a good basketball movie is either, all right, the performances have to be incredible. Okay, like that way I'm not watching necessarily for the story, but I'm watching for the performance. I'm just sort of viewing it as a film in and of itself. Or it's just completely absurd and is not trying to be based in reality whatsoever. That's Space Jam, number one, or like Air Bud or something, yeah, like that. I watched Air Bud a billion times when I was a kid. That was a great movie. Space Jam, same thing. I love Space Jam. Like, I don't care that the plot is, you know, a little loose or doesn't necessarily make sense. That's why I like it. It's completely absurd. It's got cartoons, Michael Jordan, and aliens. Like, I'm all in. What else do I need? What's your opinion on Space Jam?
Oh, I love Space Jam. I love Space Jam. One of my favorite movies as a kid. It wasn't until I got older when I realized it was like actually critically panned. Yeah. You know, if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, I don't think it has the greatest rating on there. But for what it was, I thought it was great. You know,
it was for kids. And it has a ton of great quotes.
Timely too. You know, it really, yeah, you know, it was right. It got at Michael Jordan's decision to enter baseball and yeah, had so many big names. I thought it had a lot to offer, not just kids, but I think my parents enjoyed it as well.
As far as great performances too, what's the one with Ray Allen and Denzel Washington? Why am I blanking on that?
Ray Allen and Denzel Washington. That was literally gonna be the next movie I brought up.
Oh, Jesus! So yeah,
he got game.
He got game. Movie. Yeah.
Yeah, phenomenal movie.
Denzel, great performance.
And it's so easy to forget.
That's what makes it. Not a great
performance. It's so interesting, too, because that was the only time that Ray Allen has ever acted. And he was great. And I think he just kind of, it was one of those situations where he was like, I already won, so I'm just gonna retire on top and go back to basketball. But he was super understated, very real. That movie was set at the high school, a pretty famous high school, Lincoln High School on Coney Island, where Sebastian Telfair later went, and I believe Stephon Marbury went. So a lot of really cool scenes, like on the Coney Island boardwalk, and Rick Fox has a guest appearance in that movie as someone who's showing him around the campus. Rosario Dawson's in that movie, a young Rosario Dawson. So really phenomenal movie and really deep, and basketball is just kind of one element of it.
That's right. Yeah, and that's what makes it. It's not just a team tries to win championship, team wins championship plot, right? It's more than that. White Men Can't Jump, same thing. It's about basketball, but it's really about race relations. Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes, great performances. Can't go a podcast about basketball movies and not mention White Men Can't Jump. That might be my favorite basketball movie of all time.
What's a basketball documentary that maybe, or basketball movie that maybe isn't as well known? Like, everything we're talking about is pretty famous. You know, even He Got Game has a pretty big cult following. What's one that's maybe a little bit more off the beaten path that you and
enjoy? I don't have an answer for that. A basketball movie, I don't have an answer for that. I don't know anyone like that.
The one that comes to mind for me is Celtic Pride. And this is a movie that I think a lot of people probably thought was horrible. I just looked it up on Rotten Tomatoes. It actually has a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
But it's actually really funny. It was one of Judd Apatow's first movies that he wrote.
Okay.
Dan Aykroyd and Daniel Stern are the leads, with Damon Wayans from White Chicks. And basically it's these diehard Celtics fans who kidnap the star player from the Jazz during a Jazz Celtics, I think, NBA Finals. And it's really absurd and I think really funny. And if you just want to watch a stupid movie that has basketball in it, I would recommend it.
Judd Apatow, he's done a ton of things. Silicon Valley, wasn't he King of the Hill? Was that King of the Hill?
Judd Apatow is the one who's done, you know, like 40-Year-Old Virgin and all those types of movies.
Freaks with, like, Paul and Rudd. Geeks.
He's done a bunch of stuff. This movie came back back in 1996, so this was probably toward the very beginning of his career. But yeah, no, just a funny movie that weirdly came to mind for me. I know it's not going to be at the top of the list for a lot of people, but there's some movies that I know will be on the list for people that I personally didn't love. Like, I didn't love Hoosiers.
I was going to ask you where you stand on Hoosiers, because this has been a pretty... There's been a lot of lists and opinions about basketball movies. It turns out a lot more people don't like Hoosiers than people. I think Hoosiers has a pretty loyal fan base, and it's a very specific fan base. A lot of people don't actually like Hoosiers. It's maybe the most overrated basketball movie ever.
Yeah, I mean, I love what it represents, but it's just kind of cliche. And iconic scenes from it are very corny, you know.
To me, it's Remember the Titans for basketball. It is just completely corny. You got a couple of stars, you know, celebrity stars as actors. I don't love it. It's the thing I don't like about sports movies. It's just an endless string of cliches. I don't enjoy it.
Yeah, but, you know, I understand why it has the place it has on all the lists. But no, in terms of what I'm going to watch in the quarantine, that's not near the top of the list for me. Is there anything else that comes to mind?
No, I want to get to the books. Books. I'm done with the movies. I don't love the movies. Books are way better. We're going to get to the books next. But first, let me tell you about one of the ultimate life hacks. We know it's hard to find the time to read, which is key for your development in business and your personal life. There is an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or even listen to. You've heard the interviews of successful people and leaders, and they all tout how much they read. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library that includes self-help, business, health, history books, and tons of bestsellers. Now this is the part of the ad copy that tells me to share a personal experience. And look, while being sheltered in place, I have nothing to do but read. I have plenty of time to read, but it doesn't mean that I want to read through every single self-help book that I've been meaning to read. So sometimes I'll use Blinkist to get takeaways from some of the more dense things that are on my list. How do you do it? With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books that you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for just our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA and try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off of your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. All right, so I know that this is the actual part that you're excited for, Connor, are the books. You've read a lot of books. I've read a lot of books. You like to read books, not like my audience. What is your favorite? I know you're currently actually reading one of your favorite basketball books of all time. Which one is it?
Breaks of the Game by David Halberstam.
And why are you reading it? Yeah.
People who know me are probably going to assume it's just because I grew up a Blazers fan and it's about the Blazers, but that's honestly not the reason. It is, to me, everything that a great sports book is. So the book is about the 1979-1980 Blazers team, which is a couple years removed from their lone NBA title in 77. It was toward the very end of the Bill Walton era in Portland, and things were kind of starting to fall apart. And David Halberstam, who at that time was famous for books on the Vietnam War and politics and those sorts of things, was completely embedded with the Blazers for an entire season and had unfettered access, and kind of lifted the curtain on these, who these guys were. And one of the interesting parts of the book is Kermit Washington, who was infamous for punching out Rudy Tomjanovich and nearly killing him during a game, was on that Blazers team, and he kind of does a really fascinating character study on him and how he's kind of living that every day. Last time I read this book was sometime in college, and I just, you know, wanted a little bit of inspiration in my own writing, and so I figured I'd go back to it, and I'm feeling pretty inspired just rereading it.
The way that Halberstam kind of weaves in stories and the past with the present, and he does it in a way that's not confusing, and it has such a great pacing to the book. And I feel like that's such a underrated thing when we talk about writing, especially in book writing, is just the pacing overall. He knows when to get out of the old, like, you're never like in the history too much of it, right? You're never in the guy's past for too long,
right? Exactly.
You could just sort of get inundated with it and be like, all right, I get it, like, the guy lived a whole life, all right, I understand, let's get back to this season.
It's constantly moving.
It is. And I mean, he's like a good rapper in that way, where it's just never like the cadence is never the same to the point where it's monotonous. It's just sort of like, all right, now whenever he's got a good sense of when to switch it up.
Part of the reason why I generally don't read books a ton, and I tend to read long form magazine pieces and things like that, is because I often feel like books get overly bogged down. So a lot of times it feels like the author is just trying to get to 300 pages or whatever his publishing contract requires, and it doesn't, the very few books, especially sports books, have good pacing. And this is a great example of a sports book done right. What about you? What do you think's your favorite basketball book of all time?
It's actually Breaks of the Game, and it's not close. Because of all, it's a perfectly done basketball book. I don't love a lot of basketball books, and I sort of want to broaden the scope to sports books in general.
There's a lot of good basketball books out there, my personal opinion.
Well, what's another one? I mean, the one that we have to probably talk about. Do you have an opinion on Bill Simmons's Book of Basketball?
I didn't finish it. I tried to read it once. I didn't finish it. Yeah.
It's interesting in that it reads like Bill Simmons, which is good. But it's dense like a Bill Simmons column used to be. And you can kind of get through it, But I think it's sort of meant like as an encyclopedia of basketball almost. And I think that's what he would tell you. And I think it's worth, if you're a basketball fan, it's worth reading, even though the longer it goes, the more dated it gets. And that's why I think Simmons ended up doing a podcast sort of as an addendum to the book, as an update to the book. But it's still sort of worth, it's sort of worth reading just because of the way he sort of frames things, I think is interesting. I don't know. He's got like the whole revamping the Hall of Fame, which I like, idea. And he kind of uses that as a way to get into different stories of different players. But it's really him. It's not a story so much as him pontificating on his thoughts about these guys. And in those pontifications, he does interviews and stories about, and like more anecdotes about those players and actual stories, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I might spend some of my time going back and rereading that, or finishing reading that, I should say. One book that is one of my all time favorites is called "Play Their Hearts Out" by George Dorman. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So I read this book back when I was covering Oregon State, because the star player at Oregon State, a guy named Roberto Nelson, at that time. Was heavily featured in this book. So I wanted to go read this book to have a better idea of his story and that kind of thing. And it's phenomenal. It basically looks at the underbelly of the AAU scene in LA in the, relatively early 2000s. And it looks at just kind of the AAU machine and how, you know, these kids who are 8, 9, 10 years old are held up as the next prodigy. And then, you know, all the pressures they deal with and all the people around them that they have to navigate. And a lot of these guys don't end up even being anything. A lot of the guys profiled in this book, the average basketball fan wouldn't even know. There's this guy named Demetrius Walker, who's profiled in the book, who at the time of the book was considered the top eighth grader in the country, and ended up doing nothing. He ended up finishing his college career at Grand Canyon University. Couldn't even really hack it at a big time school. So it's just a fascinating look at that culture, which can be pretty seedy at times.
Yeah, I think any kind of look into the high school culture, the AAU culture for that matter, any of that, even the college, like any of that, like the sneaker deal culture, is incredible. All of that stuff, is great to learn about. What was that one by Jonathan Abrams? Boys to Men. That one was pretty good. He covers all the guys that went from straight from high school to pro, and why it was that those guys succeeded. It was pretty short too, so I guess he didn't have a huge demand from his publisher as far as those pages, so we weren't worrying about that. I actually thought that was really good, especially stuff about like Kevin Garnett, Dwight Howard, like all these guys who went straight from high school to the pros and what they needed to deal with in getting there, and sort of how certain teams were more prepared to take on those guys and what what those kids needed at that time versus some of these other teams that would take high schoolers and not really know that they needed to treat them differently than people that were, you know, in college for several years and were adults by the time they reached the NBA. So Boys to Men is another one. As far as non-basketball books, anything that Michael Lewis wrote about sports, I'm going to read it. Like The Blind Side is an all-timer for me. I freaking love that book.
Moneyball is incredible.
Yep. Other examples of just a really well-done book that has callbacks, good pacing, just well-written, and then just a really, really good narrow story that brings in a lot of different ideas. Like for The Blind Side, it was a very specific story about an offensive tackle in Mississippi that kind of shed light on the entire process of college recruiting and just sort of the underbelly of that world. And then you look at Moneyball, and it's a very specific story about Billy Beane, but it kind of gets to the bigger picture of, you know, Major League Baseball and scouting practices and just sort of the backwardness of the sport, right? And how an outsider can come in and do a better job than a lot of insiders. Like it's very, very, it's all very similar in that way. I think that's what kind of makes a good story.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And there's a few others that are bigger name books that come to mind. Pistol, the autobiography of Pistol Pete Maravich. I thought that was incredible. I think Pistol Pete Maravich is one of those sports legends that should not, can't get enough credit. I think he was transformational in a lot of what he did, and because he didn't win NBA titles, because he didn't have some of those accolades, people kind of forget about him. But it was a phenomenal book. It's a lot about his relationship with his dad, which was really complex, I'll just say, and really fascinating book. One book that it kind of goes along with my Celtic pride thing that is random and the average person is not going to be super familiar with is, it's called The Jump. It's called The Jump, Sebastian Telfair and the High Stakes Business of High School Ball. And it was the Ian O'Connor, who I'm a fan of, was embedded with Sebastian Telfair during his senior year of high school at Lincoln High School, which is the same high school that's featured in He Got Game. And he basically wrote about what it's like, you know, being one of the top high school recruits in the country and, you know, being the first point guard in NBA history to enter the draft and get drafted. And he was talking to shoe companies and all that sort of thing. And I just remember reading it in like an eighth grade and thinking it was so, so well done. I've gone back and reread it, and people probably forget it because Sebastian Telfair is just like a no-name NBA player now. He didn't really have much of a career, but in retrospect, I think it makes the book even that more interesting, knowing that he didn't really pan out.
If you could turn any of these books, do you think that these books would be more consumed if it were, say, a Netflix documentary instead, if you were to turn them into a Netflix documentary?
Oh, yeah. For sure. I would probably make a phenomenal Netflix documentary of Breaks of the Game, and people would love it, and they probably wouldn't even know that it started out as a book.
If there's one book that you can make into a documentary, it would be Breaks of the Game. I don't think it's even close, right? It would definitely be Breaks of the Game. First of all, you get Bill Walton on camera. That's great.
Yeah. I think so. But I will say that I think Breaks of the Game is one of those books where I'm not sure how it would translate to a documentary or a movie. I think part of what makes it great is just the writing brilliance of David Halberstam. I felt the same way about Moneyball, and the Moneyball ended up being a pretty good movie. Now, I don't think it was nearly as good of a movie as it was a book, but it was a much better movie than I thought it would be.
Yeah, you kind of have to distill the complex ideas and just turn it into like a narrative film. So it's not exactly the same as the book, obviously. One other book that I wanted to mention, sports book, Levels of the Game by John McPhee. So not Breaks of the Game. Levels of the Game by John McPhee. It follows two tennis players. And it basically uses, it's an interesting plot. It uses the one tennis match that they're playing as a way to get into each of their histories and sort of a how they got there kind of thing. And so it gets into, similar to Breaks of the Game, it gets into their histories, it gets into their personalities and all these things and just why they're there. But it's within the framework of a single tennis match. And so you still go through this tennis match, you know, the three love, the whatever it's going to be. You still go through the entire tennis match while getting into, you know, all these different things about why this guy's backhand is the way it is and things like that. It was really interesting. And it kind of, again, gets to the broader scope of tennis at this time. I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about? Documentaries, movies, books, whatever?
Yeah, a couple that come to mind. Drive, the Larry Bird autobiography is a must read. What's it called?
Wait, Wilt, can I?
Wilt, 1962. Have you ever read Wilt?
No.
This is a must read, I think, for Warriors fans, because it's about Wilt Chamberlain's historic 100-point game in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and it's the backstory of that, and gets into Wilt's career and what he was like as a person and off the court. And it's a fascinating read. It's a quick read by Gary Pomerantz, who's actually a professor at Stanford, and I've met a couple of times. So I would highly recommend that one as well.
Let's end on this though. If there was one book that you could have written, doesn't mean that you have to write it or any, like, you could just have it written and it would be written well, and it could just be one book about any basketball topic, Warriors related or otherwise, what would that book be? I'm putting you on the spot here. If you wanted to read a book about something,
well, you know, I want to write a book, so I feel like I wonder if I should talk about that.
Keep that under wraps.
I don't want to reveal the book I'm hopefully going to write someday. You know, it's been interesting because I read something like Breaks of the Game, and I'm like, a version of that, like I could have written that story last season, you know, with Kevin Durant's last season with the Warriors. I think, you know, if my job, instead of being a beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle and writing content every day for the San Francisco Chronicle, if my job had been just be embedded with the team and write a book, I think I could have done a really interesting book about just that whole dynamic with Kevin and you know, kind of the splintering of a dynasty. You know, one thing that's cool about Breaks the Game is it reminds you that there are great stories everywhere. I mean, that was a relatively random Blazers season that the average fan would not remember. And he told this amazing, compelling book. And I think that you could do that with some of these Warriors teams that we've gotten to cover.
I think you could still probably do that with these Warriors, you know, because you could still get into all those things with Kevin Durant with enough reporting and things like that. And it would actually be sort of interesting to get Kevin Durant's perspective, or just like what happened to Kevin Durant after going to Brooklyn, right? Would be kind of an interesting thing. So anything written on those guys would be a lot of fun. I don't think that, like, the Warriors are so interesting, because I don't think there's enough that could be written about them, right? Like, we've already seen a few different books be written about them, sort of in the moment. But I don't think there could possibly be enough. And that kind of leads me to what my book, I want to read more about the Big Three Heat. Like, why didn't we get enough books about that? I felt like we didn't get a single good, like, Brian Windhorst had a few things, but they're all basically LeBron based. I want a book about Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, LeBron James, Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley. Like, I want that. That's the book I want to read. My Heat bias is obviously coming out here, but we didn't get anything good on them, did we? Did I miss it?
There was a book, wasn't there?
Somebody wrote a book on the Big Three Heat. Who?
Didn't Brian Windhorst write a book?
On the Big Three Heat? No, I think he wrote it on LeBron during those years. But I want a bigger picture, like the full scope on that.
Yeah. No, I mean, hey, maybe you should write that.
I don't have the reporting to write it. I'm sure that there's somebody, I don't know, there's got to be somebody that could write that book. I mean, like, Dan Lebatard could maybe go back and write that book, but he's busy with being an ESPN talking head now, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But, all right. Favorite. I don't know what else I would want a book written on. I would read, let's see. I don't know. Anything else before we get out of here?
Like I said, I think it's not. I think there's a lot of things that can make for a compelling book. It's just about how it's written. You know, if someone who wasn't at the caliber of David Halverson tried to write Breaks the Game, we definitely would not be talking about it right now. Right. It's just that writing a book is a very hard thing to do, and to keep people's attention for 300 plus pages is no easy task. And I, you know, one of my career goals is to write books someday, and I haven't written one yet, partly because I don't think I'm there as a writer yet, you know, to be able to attempt that, but hopefully that day will come.
You know what? This season would make a great book. This NBA season, like, I mean, the LeBron coming back from his groin injury to the Daryl Morey's tweet about China to obviously, like, everything in between, the coronavirus, the league ratings, like the TV ratings, all that stuff, all the changes that happened, you know, personnel-wise from team to team. Like, if somebody wrote a book about this season, I think it would be really good. Again, like you said, though, it would have to be really well written. It would depend on who wrote it and the quality to which they wrote it.
Weirdest season ever.
All right, well.
Season covering as a beat writer, so
yes.
quite the way to start out your beat writing career.
Hopefully it only gets less weird from here. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Warriors. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Connor, where can our listeners find you?
Twitter at @con_cron, and then at sfchronicle.com/warriors. I'm still on the sports beat, unlike some of my colleagues who are moved to news to cover the coronavirus. I'm still covering sports, but I am not just doing Warriors. I'm chipping in on some other topics just because there's only so many things to say about a team that's not playing basketball. So I'm having fun.
Daily podcast.
Yeah.
Now, you're doing good work over there. I encourage our readers to, or our listeners to go ahead and read you if they're not already. I don't know why they wouldn't be, but that wraps it up for Locked On Warriors. Again, thanks for listening.